So
turn in your Bibles. Go ahead, if you want to, turn to Psalm 102. Loneliness. Anybody ever been lonely or felt lonely at any time? And yeah, I'm getting some of these. I want nobody to go like that, but I'm getting some of them. Yeah, there we go. We've all felt loneliness, though, comes really and truly. Loneliness comes in many different ways, many different forms. It's not necessarily that you're just by yourself. Sometimes you can feel lonely when you're with somebody. sometimes lonely spouses. You know, I used to come in from working and I'd sit down and I didn't want to say nothing. I was tired. Well, guess what? She's wanting to talk because she ain't had nobody there all day. And I wouldn't talk much. Well, hey, she was kind of lonely. Survivors of, say, your spouse may have passed on. That's a lonely feeling. We've got several here. The senior citizen in general, sometimes they have a lonely life, do they not? Do you? Yeah, cowboy don't talk much, does he, Miss Barbara? The last few days, my wife was in Arizona, and trust me, you walk through the house, and it's like, ain't nobody to pick on other than the dog, and he really don't care. You know, and it's like, really, though, it was empty. It was lonely. And I was like, then I go to a restaurant and sit down to eat, and I'm still lonely. I'm in a room full of people, but I was still lonely. You know, you have that lonely feeling. Sufferers. Sometimes when you're suffering, you feel like, hey, there ain't nobody else knows what I feel like. And they may not. But you can always remember this. Whatever you're suffering, somebody's going through the same thing or worse. I mentioned it in Sunday school this morning. There's this little kid was on. They put it on Facebook, and he wears all these galls, and he's got some kind of disease. I can't even pronounce it, and ain't going to. But his skin comes off, and he thought he was all alone. Come to find out, there's a whole lot more people that's got that. But I was sitting there thinking, having a little bit of a pity party with my foot up in the air because it wasn't feeling good. And but when I saw that, it's like, wow, what have I got to complain about? You know, this little kid, and hey, the attitude he has would just amaze me. But, you know, sometimes you feel alone. And he stated that. He said, I thought I was alone in this deal. But he wasn't. Servants of God, people that go out and pastors and missionaries, they go out and serve God and they feel like they're lonely. You know, they're the only one. Elijah got a bad attitude. I'm the only one. You know, but the Lord told him different. Examples of loneliness, Psalm 102. Psalm 102 and verse 6. David said, I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Psalm 142. Go to Psalm 142. And verse 4, David said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. You know, when you're feeling lonely, when you and like I said, all humans do, some more than others. When you're feeling lonely, you're all by yourself. How many single people we got in here that ain't living at home? But well, whether you live at home or not, you feel lonely though. It's just you. You know, but when you start feeling that way, think about King David. He's the one that wrote most of these Psalms. A great warrior, was the king of Israel, and not to mention a man after God's own heart. But yet, he stated just a minute ago, he had some lonely times. You know, loneliness is real. And I've told people before, and people's told me before, well, you got Jesus. Yeah, that's right. If you're saved, if you've trusted the Lord, hey, you've got Jesus. But nonetheless, sometimes you still feel lonely. Listen, David had God, and he still felt lonely. We, you know, sometimes that happens to us. We feel lonely. We have this going on in our life. Jeremiah was lonely. He preached and no one listened. He sat and watched his entire city just utterly destroyed. He felt lonely. Elijah, he was lonely. If you go to 1 Kings 19, 1 through 18, listen. Elijah felt lonely. Well, Lord, I'm the only one. You might as well just take my life. And the Lord said, yeah, there's 7,000 here in Jerusalem that ain't bowed the knee to Baal. Get up. You know, I mean, that's what he told him. Paul said he was lonely. Let's go over and read that. 2 Timothy. That's way over toward the back, somewhere after Genesis. They didn't get that one. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 9. Now listen, Paul's in prison, okay? This is probably his second term in prison. Well, a lot of arguments, theologians, they try to decide, was Paul in prison twice in Rome or just once? I don't know. I wasn't living back then. So I really don't know, but I kind of feel he was probably in prison twice. His second prison stay wasn't very good. His first one, he was in kind of his own little house, and he had a guy chained to him, and boy, wouldn't you hate to have been that guard? You know, he heard about Jesus every day. And he was chained to Paul all day. And then when his relief would come, he'd say, put that chain on and then this guy. Oh, they probably knew more about Jesus than anybody. But Paul was probably in his second prison stay, and it was in the dungeons. He wasn't doing good. They were not treating him very well on this one. He said, he told Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me. Anybody ever forsaken you? You really feel like they've just deserted you? Having loved this present world and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus and Dalmatia, sounds good. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with me. He is profitable for the ministry. Now look at verse 16. He says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. You know, Paul was alone. And he felt loneliness. He said, at first, everybody just deserted me. Here I sit in Rome and I'm in prison and everybody's deserted me. By the way, while he was over there, what a testimony he was. He said, bring to me the parchments. In other words, bring to him what Bible they had. And by the way, bring a cloak too, because it's a little bit chilly down here in this dungeon. But the first thing he asked for was the parchments. He wanted to be able to read God's word. Paul was feeling pretty lonely. Feeling lonely, by the way, isn't a sin. It ain't a sin to feel lonely. It just happened. Horses. And I'll use horses because I know a lot about them somewhat, but or think I do. I spent most of my life with horses. Horses are sociable animals. They like social life. The majority of humans like social life. Now, sometimes we get humans that, you know, you've heard of the old saying, hermits. But that wasn't because that's the way they were designed. You can get that way. You can get to where you just don't want to be with nobody. And I understand that to a point. But when I was trucking years ago, I spent so much time in my rig that it didn't bother me if I saw people or talked to people or not. I was happy going from point A to point B, from point B back to point A, and I'd come home. And I would go sometimes for a day without saying a word to anybody. Because in a truck like that, you know, you can run 700-800 miles without getting any fuel. Well, you ain't got to stop. So you just cruising along. You don't talk. And that's not healthy for you. We're sociable, supposed to be sociable. Horses are sociable. You take a horse and you put a horse by himself in a corral and he gets depressed. Now, after a while, they'll get used to it, just like anybody else would. But what they do is they tend to lean more on you because you're the only one around. You walk out the door and boy, he goes to whinnying. Hey, I'm over here. Hello. Just come over here and tap me on the nose, acknowledge me or something. You know, that's the way horses are. You can put two horses together and then decide to go ride one. And sometimes it's not good. Because the whole time you're riding, he's pitching a fit wanting to go back to the barn. The one at the barn's wanting to come to where you're at because they're in love with each other. It's like, good, you know. either way, sometimes it's rough. But they're sociable and they get lonely. And I've compared myself to that. But listen, feeling alone is not a sin. It only becomes a problem when we indulge in it. It's poor, poor, pitiful me. You know, that's when it becomes a problem is when we sit back, well, nobody loves me. You ever done that? No, don't tell me. Nobody cares for me. You know, it's like Elijah. Lord, I'm the only one. I'm going to sit down under this Jupiter tree here and you just go ahead and take my life. Ain't no need for me to be here anyway. I'm the only one that loves you. You know, that's when it becomes a real problem in our life. Now, the Bible offers an escape from loneliness. Really, we need to admit we're lonely. Recognize it, admit it. That's the first step of anything. When I was dealing with people that had drug and alcohol problems in Kentucky, we had a program for a couple of years. And it was to help them get away from their addiction. But there's only one problem. You can't help people. Jesus can't help them until they admit they got the problem. You can't get rid of your lonely feelings till you admit you've got that problem. And that's important. We need to admit it. God provides for your loneliness, but we have to accept it. Only God can truly solve our problems. Listen, there is no problem too big for God to solve. Well, I just don't know if he can solve this one. What? Trust me. Listen, if he can part the Red Sea, if he can fix a fish or whale or whatever it was that swallowed Jonah, He can solve my problems. You know? If he can fix an oyster that'll lay a pearl big enough to be a gate in heaven, hey, he can solve my problem. My problem ain't nothing. The Lord can take care of our problems, but we got to give it to him, don't we? See, that we were discussing this. I'll bring this back up. We were discussing this in our discipleship class. You got to give it to him. Now, Garth Brooks years ago come out with a song, and I forget the name of it, but in that song he says, we bury the hatchet and we leave the handle sticking out so we can pull it out and use it again. You know, that's the way a lot of us give it to God. We give it to God and we hang on to it. Well, I'm going to hang on to it just in case you can't handle it. I still got a hold. Listen, we need to give our problem to God. Give it to him. Let him have it. And don't reach up and jerk it back. And I told him, I said, it's kind of like Moses' mom, Jochebed. She made that little basket and she bedded it all down and she laid her little boy down in it and she shoved him out in the water and she didn't have no twine hanging on it in case things went wrong. She let him go. God, you take care of it. I'm laying it all in your hands. And that's what we've got to do with our problems. And this problem of loneliness that people get, that's what they need to do. They need to give it to God. Now, how do we do that? By building a relationship with Christ. It all boils down to what kind of relationship do you have with Jesus Christ? That's what you got to ask yourself. That's where it all comes to. It comes to pretty much that one thing. See, when you know Christ, who, by the way, left the splendor of heaven and to come down here to hang on a cross, he left everything he had in heaven and came down here to hang on a cross and truly experience loneliness. Matthew 27:46. He is hanging on a cross and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, let me tell you something. We've experienced loneliness. I've experienced times in my life where I thought I was alone. I was trucking across Utah on Interstate 15, and I could just about point you, well, I can take you to the exact spot that I told her on the phone. I said, I'm alone. And she said, what do you mean? You got me? You're on the phone? I said, no, you don't get it. I'm alone. I don't even feel like God's with me anymore. That's a bad feeling. The Lord was dealing with me about following his calling as a minister, as a pastor, and I was refusing. I was running the opposite way from God. I'm like, no, I don't want it. And I really felt like, wow. I felt, but the loneliest time in your life can't compare to what happened to Jesus Christ on the cross. I've done this before. What happened to Jesus is he's hanging on the cross and God, his Father, turned his back. And Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's when it got dark. That's when the entire world for those 3 hours was pitch black. They want to say, oh, it was an eclipse. No, no, it wasn't. It was God turned his back on his son. But listen, he did that for you. So he did that so you wouldn't have to experience that loneliness. See, there's the key to loneliness. If we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, and hopefully everybody in here has, then we'll never have to experience the loneliness that Jesus did. Because see, that loneliness will come when you pass away. Because it's too late to change then. See, Jesus is the light and in him is no darkness, right? Well, if we're saved, we're children of the light. We shouldn't be lonely. We ought to think about what we've got when we have a relationship with Christ. See, we can know Him in an intimate way. Now, you can compare that to husband and wife. Listen, I know her a whole lot better than I know Sister Myrna or any other lady in here. See, I have that intimate life with her. I know things about her that nobody else does. I know what she likes to eat. I know what she's ate at people's houses and had to force it down. I won't say nothing. No, there's nobody in here. I'm just... But listen, I know her intimately. That's what we can know God. We can know God intimately in our life. We can build that relationship with Jesus Christ as a beloved child. And all this happens as we embrace His lordship over our lives. See, if we're not allowing Jesus to have lordship over our lives, guess what? We don't have that relationship that we ought to with Christ. When we turn around and fight against Him, it's kind of like me and her. I argue with her, I make her mad, but we're not near as close as we were. Got to get back to apologizing, you know. Think about that. That's asking forgiveness. and then we're right back where we started. See, He'll fill that void spot. He'll take that void spot away from you. When you lose a loved one, Miss Betty knows where her daughter Linda's gone. Deanna knows where her grandpa's gone. But nonetheless, they both know that they can't drive over there tomorrow and see Him. That's a void. But listen, Jesus fills that void. Amen? Don't He? Yeah, He does. Miss Betty, listen, she's an unreal testimony. She really is. Amen. Yeah. That's where we have that peace that passes all understanding. That joy that people do not understand why a Christian has that. Why? How can you have peace and joy in a time of trial? Because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. When we have that relationship with Jesus Christ, listen, God glows, so to speak, in our heart. You see, we all of a sudden we have, when we get this relationship, we have peace, we have joy, we have purpose. We realize that, hey, we do have a purpose. I'm not just a little speck here. I have a purpose. I'm a servant of the Almighty God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I'm not just the average citizen walking around down here on earth. Listen, I got dual citizenship. I'm a citizen of Nevada, but I'm also a citizen of heaven. Amen. Huh? Changes it. By the way, a child of the King. Listen, we ought to be excited that we're part of a royalty. My daughter done genealogy stuff. She researched our family. Listen, we didn't come from the great kingdoms. Matter of fact, a lot of them got hung. There was lots of reasons why. The infamous Jesse and Frank James are my relatives. I don't care what people say about them. I don't care what they done it for. Nonetheless, they were crooks and thieves and murderers. You know, they were. So you're looking at it and you're like, wow, think about who I am now. I'm a child of the King. I belong to the Almighty God. I've got a lot to be excited about. John 14, you can go there and read that later if you want to, but John 14, 21 through 23. Well, let's just go there. We got time. John chapter 14, these are probably some of my favorite verses. Verse 21, he says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Now, verse 23 says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me and keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Now, I wrote it down this way. Christ promises a special love and grace and his deepest inner presence. And you will experience the love and presence of God and the Son in a very real and powerful way. You see, people know my wife, and she's sweet. She is. But I know how sweet she is. You think she's sweet, but I know how sweet she is. And when we hold hands and we're walking along and, oh, you get that warm, fuzzy feeling. You know, back like when we was 15 and 16 and we just happy-go-lucky. And you feel good. You get them little goosebumps, you know. She comes up to me and I'm laid back on the couch and she kisses me on the forehead and it's like, oh, you know. When we have a relationship with Christ, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about, hey, I'll be real to you. I can show you. I'll reveal myself to you. And then we don't have to deal with loneliness. That'll glow in your heart. See, without Jesus, there is no hope. Nothing can be done without Jesus. Well, I don't know about that. No. Trust me, nothing can be done without Jesus that's worth anything. If it ain't got Jesus tied to it, what good is it? You know, the Lord said all our righteousness is as filthy rags. The best I could possibly do. But with Jesus, it all changes. So ask yourself, how is your relationship with Christ? Do you have those times that you just feel lonely? Listen, the more you build a relationship with Christ, you're not near as lonely. The other night, I'm sitting around there, and it was kind of lonely feeling. And she texted me, and I said, "Can we talk?" She said, "Sure." So I called her. All I needed was just to hear her voice. And it was like, okay, that's cool. I'm all right. When you get those times of feeling lonely, pick this up and get serious. And read his promises. Read what he tells us. Listen, that loneliness will flee. And you can feel the presence, right? Miss Betty said something this morning. We were talking. She says, "Oh, I just feel him right now with me." Listen, he is. He's with us. I've got times like that that it's like, oh, man, I can feel him right here. How is your relationship with Christ? Is it where it ought to be? Let's stand. We'll have Sister Judy, if you'll come up. Play 203 for us, Amazing Grace.